sex and happiness.
Both enrich our lives, change our lives in ways that make life worth living. Yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Host Lori Handlers helps you to explore, learn about, and most importantly, have great sex. And in the process, she helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness.
Sex and happiness.
You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Hi, everyone. This is Lori Handlers, and you're tuned in to Sex and Happiness, a show about sex and happiness. And this segment of the show is brought to you by Zestra, a female enhancement product that you'll be hearing about a little later in the show. Today, my question for you is about this, what seems like a new fad. And the fad I'm referring to is younger men being attracted to older women. Now, we all know that for centuries, older men have been attracted to younger women, and some men have seemed like the grandfather of women that they were dating. And that seemed to be very okay with people, very popular, almost expected that as a man got older, he could exchange his girlfriends or wives or lovers for younger and younger versions. But now there seems to be a new kind of thing happening in our world, which is that older women and younger men are pairing. So today, my guest is going to talk about the beauty and attraction to older women, because he's a man who's attracted to women older than him. His name is Corey Alexander, and Corey is a certified Tantra educator and intimacy coach. He discovered Tantra as a path through life-altering expanded lovemaking, and he's studied with many outstanding teachers since. He teaches workshops and offers private coaching sessions in person and by phone. And you can find him at corerelationship.com. That's C-O-R-E, relationship.com. We'll announce that a little later in the show again. So, Corey, welcome to Sex and Happiness.
Thank you, Lori.
Yeah, it's great to have you. It's certainly a subject that's near and dear to my heart, since I'm an older woman and I'm very attracted to younger men. So tell me a little bit about your current intimate relationship. You're definitely younger than the woman that you're with, and how did that come about, and when did you first notice that you were attracted to her or to other women a little bit older than you, or perhaps a lot?
Wow, that's a complex question. But the basics are I'm 49 years old, and I'm engaged to be married to a beautiful, lovely woman who is 63 years old. And we met at a sacred sexuality workshop. And one of the beautiful things about being in a ritual setting, doing things like eye gazing, is you can really see into someone's spirit and really get their the divine aspect of them. And so this person, to me, she really just shone, and her energy was just flowing and open and beautiful, and I was instantly attracted to her.
And how long ago was this?
Was 2 years ago.
Great. And then how long did it take you to get engaged?
1 year.
I just want to know. I want my listeners to know as well. And you didn't have any qualms about this. Like you didn't go, oh, well, age is a consideration or anything. You just kind of saw her essence and knew that she was the one for you.
Well, yes. And it wasn't quite that simple. I mean, we share our deepest values, our values we share. We have a lot of common interests and the way we like to live our lives. And so we really resonate and match on all sorts of levels. You know, as we grew in relationship, we discovered that we really were compatible and resonant. And so, you know, there's no guarantees in life either. I recently had an accident and I you know, I may have broken my leg. And, you know, you never know who's really needing more care than another.
Yeah, that's great. It's great to know that. Sure. I mean, these are just, we have images. Certainly in American culture, there everything is run by image rather than by the reality. So people have images of who's aging and who doesn't look good anymore. I mean, women spend a lot of time primping themselves and making themselves look terrific. If I have a prejudice, I have one in this direction. I'm in my sixth decade, and I rarely date men my age because men my age, many of them have let themselves go because society said it's okay for men, but it's not so okay for women. So I'm in some of the best shape of my life right now, and that's me doing my anti-aging routine every single day. So I'm just saying that because what you're saying is true. One never knows. There are no guarantees in life. It's the best we can do is to keep ourselves fresh.
That's right. And the irony of all what you've just said to me is that if you think about who needs the makeup more, it's actually the guys.
That's great, Corey.
We'll wear it, but, you know.
Yeah, men need to do something about all that. You know, there's many really well-dressed men and men who keep themselves looking terrific. And I notice many more. Like, I went to my high school reunion. I was not the prom queen. I was the most popular girl in high school, but I wasn't the prom queen. I wasn't the beauty queen. When I went to my, whatever it was, 43rd high school reunion, I looked like the prom queen. You know what I mean? I looked terrific, and not a lot of people looked so good. But I noticed in particular the men didn't.
Yeah, and you know, there's another real quality that draws me to this woman and to my previous partner, and is there's a quality of devotion, deep devotion, and that's just so attractive. And perhaps it's something to do with a woman who's maybe spent decades yearning for, you know, a very present man she can trust, and, you know, looking for a place, a worthy place to put her love, or, you know, whatever, for whatever reason, that quality of devotion just really pulls me in.
So these are women who are devotional.
Yeah.
And so your current relationship is not the first one that you've had with somebody somewhat older than you.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, I know this for myself to be true, that I can't anymore just give myself to someone who doesn't have a clue. I could have a romp with someone who doesn't have a clue. And I have lots of friends around me that don't, or certainly I have students that are learning, but to place the value that I now have, which I didn't have when I was a young girl. I mean, I was in question about myself and thought I was doing things wrong. And if a guy didn't call me back, you know, there was something wrong with me. I bought into all the female stuff that women are and young girls are educated about, feeling like we have to have a man. And if we don't have one, and if he doesn't call back, I did something wrong or whatever. I mean, all that insecurity, I don't have that. And I haven't had that for years. And so it would be nice to find a person who matches in vibration and energy, and also wants to be devotional, wants to be solidly there. So I understand what you're saying. I imagine that the woman that you're with was so happy to find you.
Yeah. You know, and this also one of the fundamental aspects, I mean, you can't just be in deep devotion without really being in, really acknowledging the beloved that dwells within. And a person really, that's where the love starts, and that's where the other person isn't the source of my love or my happiness or whatever, but that it's that self-acceptance, the self-love, and the self-certainty, if you will, and how a person lives in their own skin and how comfortable they are with themselves that allows this other greater expression.
Yes, I think it's so true. Self-love and finding the beloved within is very, very important. I know for me that happened about 6 years after I started practicing Tantra, and I didn't know that was going to happen, but one day I just woke up and I knew that my inner male and my inner female had married themselves and that I didn't need anything from the outside. And not needing anything from the outside is a wonderful place to be, because then anything that comes is a gift.
Yes.
So I understand what you're talking about. I really do. And also, I mean, it feels good to know that somebody like very vital wants to hang out, wants to be with a person, no matter what their numbers of years are. It's a tremendous feeling of being really gotten and seen for who you really are, rather than for how many times you've rotated around the sun.
Yes, and on that same thought, that you know, radiance, that the radiance isn't necessarily age dependent, but you know, the way I look at it, and I've thought about this, is that the beauty comes from like fine proportion, even whether it's a beautiful vista or a beautiful body, but that the radiance is a glow and like from a self-assurance and an openness and the way someone flows with their own energy and is comfortable with themselves. So that it's more about openness of spirit than about parts or looks.
It's great, Corey. It's a really important point. And I find that people, women, as they age, actually get more and more in touch with that. It's so hard for them when they're in their 20s or teens in this whole competition thing that's set up for them by Hollywood and by media and all these things. They just can't help but feel dorky and insecure, no matter how beautiful they are. They can never get it whenever they look in the mirror. Even if they're size 0 or 1, they feel fat. All these things. So as they age and they take on their own power, and I'm not saying that all women do, but women who do become radiant from inside out. And I think that's the quality that you're speaking about. I certainly know a lot of women like this. So.
Yeah.
And I don't know as many men.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly right. As you were talking, I was also thinking, so this conversation isn't something that I've, you know, settled, so to speak. It's just an ongoing exploration for me. And you know, I was thinking about that radiance and how every woman who offers her heart wide and is in and can find her pleasure and her joy is simply radiant.
Yes.
And children, when they're in their joy, they can be radiant. I mean, just go visit one of those carousels with the little horsies going around and watch the kids like and just being in their happiness. But as we get older, particularly as we're maybe even in the second half, so to speak, of our lives, we're more concerned with, I don't know if that's really the right way to say it, but for lack of better words, we're more concerned with really holding on to that state, and we're willing to settle for less in our relationships and in our day-to-day experience. That's it. I think we just settle for less, and so we really are looking for that deeper connections.
Oh, okay, because I don't agree with that. I would never settle for less in my life anymore, ever again. Like I talked myself into all kinds of things before, and I would never do that. I mean, there's no way. So I don't know about that. But we're going to take a break here. We can think about that for a few minutes. And when we come back, I want to talk about I want to talk about cougars. I want to talk about things that are in the current popular vernacular that you may or may not know anything about, but I want to just talk about that, because as long as we're talking about the beauty and the radiance and the attraction to older women, there's a whole phenomenon going on here that's okay now. So when we come back, we'll chat about that and we'll see where we're at with it. So if you just tuned in, you're listening to Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Handlers, your host. Today I'm talking to Corey Alexander, who's a certified Tantra educator and intimacy coach. And he's very attracted to women who are somewhat older than him, and that's what we're talking about today. So stay tuned. My question for people right now is, if you're a woman who could use a little zest and zing in your arousal response, or maybe you know women or a woman who could use this, because many women say that their feelings of desire, arousal, and sexual satisfaction don't happen as naturally or as often as they'd like. So I want to tell you about Zestra, because Zestra was developed to meet this much-needed option for women. Zestra is safe and a patented blend of botanical oils and extracts, and it's created to help women have increased sexual sensations. Zestra comes in convenient single-dose personal packets. Each packet keeps the essential arousal oils and extracts free, fresh, and safe from light. And with application of Zestra, it starts to work within 3 to 5 minutes. And at about 10 minutes, there's something called the Zestra Rush. And that can last up to about 45 minutes. The great news is that Zestra can be used as frequently as you like during each sexual experience. Now, I'm somebody who believes that all women deserve sexual satisfaction. That's why I do this show, in case you hadn't noticed. So I believe that men and women deserve sexual satisfaction. So if you're a woman who isn't getting that kind of arousal response that you want, please call 877-426-8047. That's 877-426-8047. And please remember to say you heard about Zestra from Laurie Handlers on the Sex and Happiness Show. We're back with Sex and Happiness, and I'm Laurie Handlers, your host, and I'm talking with Corey Alexander. And Corey has discovered his path of Tantra through expanded lovemaking, and he studied with some outstanding teachers, and he himself teaches workshops and offers private coaching sessions in person and by phone. And we're talking today about his attraction to women who are a little bit older than him, sometimes a lot. He's actually engaged to somebody who's older than him. And I don't know, the woman that you're with, has she ever dated people younger than her before?
Oh, yes.
She has. And has anyone ever called her a cougar?
I don't know.
Now, here we go. Now, I have to tell, the last person that I had who could be called my boyfriend at the time was 30 years younger than me, and I had never heard the term cougar, and I was walking through Union Square in Manhattan when I recognized the boyfriend's roommate. I recognized him because he had a tattoo on his face. You know, it was unmistakable. And I walked up to him and I said hello, because I had seen photos of him, and so I knew who he was, whether he knew who I was or not. And he knew exactly who I was, and he said, "Hi, how are you? How does it feel to be a cougar?" And I said, "What? What is that?" I didn't have any idea. And I didn't know whether to be flattered or whether to take that as a dig. So I took it as flattery. And with the same person, I had an example where he needed to be hospitalized. He had had a bad fall, not with the roommate, but the person who was my boyfriend. And he had to go to the hospital, and he was in Bellevue in New York City. And after the examination on the part of the doctor, I went there to collect him. And the doctor said, "It's great when the moms come in." And I said, "I'm not his mom." And the doctor looked at me and said, "What?" I said, "I'm not his mom." I said to him, and the doctor looked at me kind of up and down, and then he said, I said, "Yeah, it's like that." And then he wouldn't make eye contact with me again. You know, he's kind of a young doctor.
Nice.
So I don't know. I mean, I find that that's more socially acceptable these days. It's more socially acceptable for women to be with men quite a bit younger than them. And for people to, you know, to not necessarily take it like that doctor, but to more take it like the roommate, like, how does it feel? Like, great to meet you. So I wanted to know if you had any experience with that or had any feelings about that. I know it amused you.
Yes. Yes. My particular woman, she looks really young for her age, even though she's 14 years older than me. So, you know, people think she's 53. But on the other hand, I look younger and people think I'm 43. So, you know, we still get some of that, yes. And I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Well, no, but no one's called her your mom.
One person has, actually.
That's why you got amused at that. Well, great. I'm glad to know that we've had some similar experiences. I mean, I just didn't know what to say to him except, no, I'm not his mom. So there's a resort in Jamaica, which I just came from, which is called Hedonism, which I went to as part of this film festival that I was in. And they have 1 or 2 weeks a year where they have the cougar cub invasion. And everyone who goes there for that week or those 2 weeks is older women and younger men of all varieties, races, nationalities, shapes, sizes. And they go specifically to hook up with people who are fit this category. That's how I know that it's a current fad.
Yes, or a phenomena.
Yes, it is. And I don't think it can be taken that lightly. Like, I think it's happening. I think it's going to be happening more and more. Also, I mean, some of it could have to do with the fact that, according to statistics, men die earlier than women and women hang around more. And so maybe older women, it behooves them to find men who are going to be around for as long as they're around.
Yes, that's a thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and also I was also thinking, too, that one thing that I like as a man is to feel like my woman has chosen me. A woman who's older oftentimes has chosen me from a deeper, more self-informed place just by virtue of her maturity and her life experience.
That's interesting that you say that. That's, yeah, it's true. It's true. So it's great to have that acknowledged.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and I actually read a little saying recently that said, a smile can be sexy, and a confident, knowing smile is more sexy. So just that feeling of, I really got you, and I really have chosen you on a really deep level. I think as a man my whole life, I felt that when I'm with someone intimately, part of the excitement is that they have chosen me as well.
Feel chosen is that, again, it takes a certain inner knowing, a certain self-love and self-commitment. That's where we left off before, where I said to you I didn't agree that there are things I wouldn't settle for anymore in my life. And I wonder if you interviewed your partner, how she would feel in this, what you call settling for. Maybe we have a different definition about that.
Well, or perhaps I misspoke. What I meant to say was an agreement with what you're saying, that as we get older, we're less willing to settle for whatever in our life.
Oh, I'm so glad we cleared that up. I have a much more respect for myself and my body as a temple. And there are things I wouldn't put in, and there are people I wouldn't put in.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I have a huge compassion for all of life and for everything that people are doing. I have a much wider canvas, colors to paint with and play with and stuff than I ever had before. And by the same token, I'm definitely I have more discernment.
Yes, and at the same time, what's also happening is, for all of us, the clock is ticking on life. And so when we're younger, it's like carpe diem, do all sorts of things and have great fun and explore. And as we're older, it's more like carpe noctem, seize the night. And, you know,
I'm not going for that. Listen, I'm part of a community of people who believe in living forever.
Ah.
In this body, not the Hindu version of coming back again and again and again and again, which at one point in my life I subscribed to. I don't subscribe to that anymore. I'm doing everything I can to stay present all the time in this body, to live forever in this body. And whether I'll do it or not, I don't know. But I'm part of a community that we're actively trying to crack the DNA code. So we're not going to carpe noctem, I'm just telling you. I'm not going there at all. That's not an invitation. No. And in my community, there are many people who have different configurations. You know, there are some older women with younger men. There are some people who have triads. There's at least one woman with two men. At this point, there have been more. There have been men with a couple of women. And there have been some people who have just sought love from another and haven't worried too much about what their gender was, but who would never in the world call themselves gay. So it's a lot of different pairings and couplings based on exactly what we're talking about, the notion that there's this inner glow, radiance, and beauty that comes from somebody, and at some point it just doesn't matter. You know, if I see that in you and it's not the image that I had once before that was governed either by public opinion but by whatever, that's lifted. And I know that's true in Tantra as well. I mean, I know in Tantra that people become ageless and timeless, which is what I'm saying I'm now living on a full-time basis, ageless and timeless. They look in each other's eyes and all the rest of the shell kind of falls away. You just what you said, you looked in her eyes and you saw her beauty, her essence, and you were smitten.
Yes, smitten is the right word.
Yeah, I like that word.
And, so, you know, and I also like to think that I'm not fundamentally different than the average man, but what I've been exposed to, I call it the sheer uninhibited power of the goddess, and it changed me, it awakened great joy in me, and so that type of quality of experience I'm very interested in.
That's wonderful. I'm so glad you said that. It's very true. When one of the gifts that comes out of all of this, being able to go into sacred sexuality and come out the other side, having practiced it, people are present to the goddess and to how important it is to have the feminine aspect on this planet and inside of us, inside and outside. So thanks for saying that. That's a very special and distinct quality and distinction to have inside yourself.
Yeah, and you know, when I look at my woman, and I really see a manifestation of the goddess.
Thanks for that acknowledgement of her. Yeah, it's very important. And you know, when I met you, I felt the same thing from you. I felt like we were sitting near each other at a dinner, and there you were, and you struck up a conversation with me, and I felt honored in that same way from you. I felt no separation. I didn't feel like you were some guy just trying to talk or tell me about some stuff I don't care about. Like, you were very relevant and pertinent and speaking to me, who I am in my full power. So I know that's felt by the people that experience you. And maybe that's the takeaway. I was just going to ask if we had something that people could learn from this conversation that we're having, and I feel like you just actually said people could learn to get in touch with the goddess in their life. Women could get in touch with their inner goddess, men with theirs, and then be reverent of that when dealing with each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's well said.
Yeah, so everyone out there, you're invited. You are invited to participate in sacred sexuality, whether you have a partner or not, whether you are listening to this and worried that you'll never find anyone or what have you. There are plenty of partners out there for you if you want one, and it may take getting in touch with your inner goddess, or for the men out there, getting in touch with what that even is to be able to find possibly the love of your life. And they're out there, and they're possibly not in the same package that you were brought up to believe was the case. Perhaps if you shed some images, you'd be able to find what you're looking for in this lifetime. So, Corey, thank you so much for coming on my show and letting us know about you and about your intimate relationship, and that it doesn't exactly fit the images that or stereotypes that people have carried for a long time about how women and men should be and what ages they should be at. I mean, they even put this type of relationship down by calling it a December to June relationship. Have you ever heard that?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, that's what it meant. You know, it's very, the whole world has been very prejudiced against women and women's sexuality and sexual expression. And one of the ways, you know, cougar sounds calm to me compared to December to June.
Yes. Is that like fair weather friend?
Yeah. So let's eradicate that in our lifetimes. Well, everyone, thank you for tuning in today to Sex and Happiness, a show about sex and happiness. I am thrilled to have you, and I want you to stay tuned for my next guest,
Eleonora Lubian from danceofpassion.com. She'll be sharing with us how to get sexier and happier by manifesting our desires through motion.
Corey, thank you for being on my show. I totally appreciate having you.
It's been my pleasure to be with you, Lori.
Once again, you can get in touch with Corey through corerelationship.com. That's C-O-R-E, relationship.com.
We will be right back. Please stay tuned.
Are you wondering what book to read to jumpstart your life? Get the best from relationships? Attain the deepest feelings of intimacy? Do you want the best sex along with great happiness? Get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by Lori Handlers right now. You'll learn how to make love in the unknown, take the performance anxiety and reaching a goal out of sex. You'll learn subtle ways of communication and really important practices to empower you when dealing with an intimate partner. You'll let go of blame and struggle. Doesn't this sound great? Sex and Happiness puts the innocence back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. Take charge of your life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually with Sex and Happiness by Lori Handlers, only $19.99 paperback and $14.99 ebook. Order your copy today by going to butterflyworkshops.com. That's butterflyworkshops.com for your copy of Sex and Happiness.
For weeks now, you've been hearing me talk about the Erotic Coast Film Festival and my film Beyond Dinner winning the award for the best short film. And you've been hearing me talk to all these guests that I met while I was there. And you haven't heard that much about the dinner, although in the show I did with Dr. Ava and Nancy Sutton Pierce, we did talk about what was in my film. I want to let you know that the film is about a ritual dinner that I invented called the Gate dinner. Gate means beyond in Sanskrit. And it's a very sensual 8-course dinner that starts with the forbidden, starts with dessert and leads its way back around to other foods. But all the foods in the dinner are very, very sensual, very beautifully prepared, and the presentation is amazing. And in this dinner, aside from everybody projecting themselves through a meditation that I do to their highest self, having had boundary exercises prior, the men rotate around the table and they feed various goddesses, all the goddesses that are around the table. And even if you come there with a partner, the partner lets go, doesn't take things so personally, lets the partner rotate around and have a sensual experience with each person that's participating. In this case, it would be men having a sensual experience with different women and then working their way back to their original partner. If this piques your curiosity and interest, I want to let you know that these dinners are now available to you wherever you are in the United States. And what you need is 20 people who would like to participate, and you can get in touch with me at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. That's sexandhappiness@gmail.com if you'd like to host a dinner like this in your part of the world. I would love to come to your and offer one of these dinners to you and your friends. And I know my chef would love to come too. Also, Antonio Tiggs, who you've heard on the show as well, would love to come and paint your servers. So your servers are all gold or all silver or what have you. So we have a little entourage that would like to come and make this such a memorable event for you. Please get in touch with me if you'd like to hear more about it and talk about the details. That's sexandhappiness@gmail.com.
This is Lori Handlers, and you're listening to Sex and Happiness. And, you know, I always say this too, but I feel this way passionately, that this show hopefully is increasing your happiness as well as your happiness with sex. That's what I want. That's my intention with the show, and hopefully that's happening for you. My guest, Eleonora Lubian, is this amazingly creative being, and she does all kinds of connections. She connects people's psychology with their spirituality, with their mind and their body, and she combines all of this with movement. The result that she produces is transformation in people. And I have to say, in all honesty, that when I met Eleonora, I had a vision of myself. Like, she reminded me so much of me. And that when I was evolving and inventing and still evolving and inventing, I felt like we were twins, you know, so twin souls. So I invited her to be on the show to talk about her process, like how she creates and what she creates for people and what she's currently working on. So Eleonora, welcome to the show, Sex and Happiness.
Thank you so much, Lori.
It's really my pleasure to have you here, and I know who you are through and through as a creative soul. It's like I could see you. I can see how you move. I can see your energy. I can see your passion for creating and your passion for working with people. So
Thank you. As I'm listening to you giving this little introduction, I'm sitting here and goosebumps are just going up my body because it's so beautiful to hear and be seen, and especially from you.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. It's great. I want to ask you maybe an off-the-wall question. The question is, when did you first notice, like, think back in your life, when did you first notice that you really, really cared about people and you had this amazing energy for creating? When did you first notice it?
I know that it was always, always in me. And when I really had this strong aha moment and started seeing what I am creating now was in 2006 when I was in India and I was alone. All I had was a mattress and a mosquito net. And there was this deep, profound feeling of, whoa, I am completely alone. I'm completely on my own. It's me. But at the same time, I am, as cliche as it may sound, I'm completely connected with every single thing and being around me. And I started seeing what I am actively manifesting right now. And I've always had a deep empathy as a child. So it's been in my awareness forever.
Okay, so it's been in your awareness forever that you would do something that would make a difference. I guess I'm translating that into that's what you mean.
Maybe I didn't have it in those kinds of terms, but in one way or another, yeah, I did.
You're now getting your master's degree in psychology, and that's at Columbia, right? At Columbia University in New York.
Yes, it's a master's in clinical psychology, and it's very exciting because it's one of the first Ivy Leagues and first schools of this stature on the East Coast to be bringing in spirituality and things like shamanism and tantra and mindfulness into the classroom. So it's really exciting to be a part of.
Well, when you say that, I feel we've come a long way.
We really have. There are some amazing pioneers in this field, and that's one of my missions about bringing this work and what you and I do into academia and starting to bridge the gap between the quote-unquote science and research and this science.
That gives me a great feeling. You know, I'm one of the original, I feel that I'm one of the original indigo children. I'm like, I'm one of the forerunners. I'm the early baby boomers, and I came in here in this life fighting as a warrior, fighting for people's voices and for creativity and for people to be connected through spirit. But I didn't know that's what I was fighting about until I did. You know, one day I realized, oh, I'm fighting for not only me, I'm fighting for the good of everyone. I'm fighting on the planet. And I feel when you say that, at Columbia University in New York City, there's a concentration in a psychology program of spirituality and mind-body medicine and tantra and movement and all these, we'll call them new agey things, but I don't even like to put them in that category. To me, these things are so much a part of who we are and have been so denied.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're
Absolutely.
Going into psychology, which is where they belong. So I love when you say that you're breaking down the barrier between science and the things that they looked at as more subjective instead of objective. Like, we couldn't measure them, so we didn't put it into science. Because when I studied psychology, I lost interest with it because I wasn't interested in running rats. You know what I'm saying? I didn't want to do it.
I know exactly what you're saying. And I feel so grateful to have this privilege of having the opportunity that I've had with academia and being in institutions like New York University, Columbia University, Teachers College within it, that it's coming into my lap that, yes, this is what I'm meant to do while I have this time within academia. And also somebody like Dr. Lisa Miller at Columbia University, who is the pioneer for bringing spirituality into psychology, and she's the chair for the American Psychological Association of spirituality within psychology. And it takes somebody like her to come into the classroom and say, you know what, we are going to be, as researchers right now, trusting our gut. And that's such a wackadoo kind of big statement, and it makes the scientists cringe. And I want to soften that kind of cringe-worthy effect. Like, there has to be a balance between coming in with the work that we do and as healers, and because she is researching healers, she is seeing what is happening in these kinds of healing environments.
Yeah, I'm following you, and it makes me really happy. It makes me feel like the battles that I was fighting have results. Like, your proof that the battles that I was fighting and this, all the sensitivity training and the encounter groups and the dance and movement therapy and all these things have had an effect, finally. Things on the planet are shifting if it's making its way into an Ivy League school of stature, and that you get to reap the benefit of all that, and you get to take it to the whole next level. That's very exciting for me.
Yes,
that's very
thank
exciting.
You. Thank you for everything that you did, you know, that has brought it to this point. And it's so amazing. And it's an art, Lori. It is an art about how to bring this into the scientific world and into organizations like this. So for me, I just launched the first workshop at Columbia University last week, and seeing, okay, I'm weaving in tantric philosophy. I am weaving in shamanism, East-West psychology. But the people may not know that that's truly what it is. Let them experience it first.
Yeah, I understand.
And then as this thirst for it arises because people see what is happening, they are feeling the transformation within them, the powerful release. And then they'll come with questions, what is this really, Eleonora? And this is in regards to academia. And then I can tell them, well, this is this and this. And it comes from tantric philosophy. It comes from yogic philosophy, from Buddhism, from so forth.
Yeah, it's really good. It's great. I have a big smile on my face. You had goosebumps, and I have a smile on my face. I really am excited. I remember going to a friend of mine's psychology class at Boston University. She was a professor at BU. I was teaching at some community colleges in the Boston area, and she was teaching at BU, and I went to her class, and we did yelling. Like, I had everybody yelling. The whole class was yelling and yelling, and she was afraid the police were going to come. The police didn't.
I have this every time in my classes. I feel like, okay, any minute now, the studio owner is going to come in and tell me to get out. the police are going to come, and New Yorkers, Lori, can yell. Wow, when I give them that permission and push them, and then I can't shut them up. And I realize I'm completely powerless. People can no longer hear me over the microphone, and I need to just wait it out and let it die down on its own, because when they get going.
Yeah, there's a lot to yell about in New York. Everybody's so pressured.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to take a short break here for a moment, and when we come back, I want to talk to you very much about the content and the detail of your work and how people can get in touch with you so they know, like, because you're up and coming, you're on the rise. Eleonora Lupien is on the rise. This is not the last time you're going to hear of her if you're listening to the show. This may be the first time you're hearing of her, but she's going to make a big impact on this world. So we will be right back. Stay tuned. This is Lori Handlers with Sex and Happiness.
Many times on Sex and Happiness, you've heard Lori talk about emotional release and how important it is. Well, now you can do emotional release in the privacy of your own home. In Lori's CD, Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn, she creates a safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work Lori is known for in her sacred sexuality courses. Lori sets you up with the proper positioning and breathing. Then she guides you through each emotional state to the beat of tribal African rhythms. This CD provides an easy way to do emotional clearing work on a regular basis. Order your copy of Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn today and watch your relationships walk free of emotional baggage. To order the Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn CD by Lori Handlers, go to www.butterflyworkshops.com right now.
Well, we're back, and I'm here with my guest, Eleonora Lupien. And I was very excited in the first part of the show about the work that she's doing, but I'd like you to get more of a sense. I'm already familiar with her, and I'm familiar with her work, and I've had occasion to spend time with her. So I'm reading between the lines, but I want to give it to you. So you know what she's doing. When I say you're going to hear about her, I mean it. So, Eleonora, tell us a little bit about what you're creating, what kinds of things, because, you know, you're talking about people yelling in New York City, whatever, but what are you
no,
actually
that's all
bringing?
I just get people together and have them yell. No. it's a yummy question for me right now because I'm in the throes of just evolution. Every day is bringing more and more into my work. So I am, at the base of it, we use motion and dance. So in 2007 is when I began my conscious dance practice with something called Journey Dance, a modality that Tony Bergens had developed. And this was one of my first practices that when I walked in, it started to really shed the layers of the onion. I didn't know where it was going to shed to, but it was shedding. So I use that as a big backbone of my work with dance. We use movement, dance, music, and I've been lately incorporating a lot of kirtan music, which is music in Sanskrit from the yoga philosophy. And we allow it to take us into a form of alchemy in all of its good sense, meaning we transform a possible negative state into a more positive one. Go ahead.
So you do that through movement, like what you're
we
saying.
We do
because
this through movement. So in some of my classes, it's purely dance. So in my group work, we almost always use movement and dance. And we go into the discomfort in the beginning. We see what happens when we don't resist the unpleasantness, whether it is a sadness or a shame or whatever it is or overwhelm that may be present with us now when we walk into the room. Not last week, not a year ago, but right now when we're together, when you come into the space with me, what is happening, what is going on, and what do you want to devote your entire body, mind, and spirit to for the next hour, two or three, however long we have together. And we just surrender into the process. It's lightly verbally facilitated. And there is a lot of emotional release that may happen throughout the process. And then we can fully celebrate and step into the joy that comes along with creating space in ourselves, clearing out the negative beliefs, and then we have the space of what do we want to fill it with. And there's now room to manifest desire. We're doing desire manifestation in community. We're doing emotional release in community and then desire manifestation in community.
That's beautiful. I mean, that is just, it's so, for me, it's so clear. I hope it's clear as for the listeners. As, I mean, they've heard about emotional release so many times, over and over and over again from me. And so, and from many, many of my guests in the years of, in the years that I've been doing this on the show. So you're,
I'm working on putting this into some kind of clean little package that I can present very clearly in a sentence or two. It's not there yet. I just want to, or maybe it is, but this is what it is now. And also when I want to mention that I am now stepping into really being open to working with people one-on-one. And it's so funny, Lori, how this happens, that when I made this decision, now people are coming and finding me. Those who I am meant to work with or just be in the presence of and have the honor of being in their life in whatever way that we figure out or we see fit, they are coming to me. They're entering into my life. And this is showing me just how there, everything is one. There are no coincidences.
Well, it's showing you that your purpose, that your life's purpose is getting fulfilled. Like, people wouldn't be finding you if they weren't meant to find you. They're finding you because they're meant to find your work and start working on these very things. That's a very powerful, when you fall into what it is that you were meant to be and meant to do, it becomes so easy. It's easier than you know, this word overwhelm is overused. I feel like people find what they're supposed to do, like, just in the moment when they feel overwhelmed, when they feel like, oh, no, I can't do another thing. All of a sudden, this big light goes on, and everything becomes really clear.
Yes. And that is my, you know, I've just really recently realized that that is my true medicine, that now my creativity is bursting into manifesting and creating exactly what I'm supposed to be creating and manifesting and doing. And those big light bulbs will come in the throes of overwhelm, in the throes of what now, like on the subway, in rush hour, in the midst of family emergency just a few days ago, boom, there you go. There, and everything came together for the class I was teaching the next day, and I knew exactly what I needed to do and why I was there and what I was going to share. And everything that I present and everything that I share is what I believe in to the core. I'm not going to present anything that I doubt or don't believe in. So every single principle that I weave in is coming from my personal knowledge and experience.
Great.
This works. This just works. And you don't even need to know how or why it works.
Exactly. It has, look, I work like that myself, and that's why I recognize you. I mean, this has so much integrity because you wouldn't use people as your experiment. You actually use yourself as an experiment, and then you bring what you learn from your self-exploration to others because you know, you see it work in yourself. That's just, it's, to me, that's really, that's where the rubber meets the road. So.
Yes, and I know that who I am and what I do is not going to jive with every single person, and that's totally okay.
Right.
Just fine. It's our personal mission, each individual, to find what we connect with.
Exactly. And then and move with it or find something else.
Or find something else.
Yeah, it's good. How can people get in touch with you if they want to find out more? Because not everyone who listens to this show is in the New York City area, but that doesn't matter. I know you'll be moving this out very soon.
Yes. Well, I am already. So I do international work and I travel. Right now I've been pretty grounded in New York City. But if you want to get in touch with me, and I really encourage reaching out to me, you can visit danceofpassion.com. Just that, danceofpassion.com. It has my entire event schedule on it. And you can reach me at eleonora@danceofpassion.com. I do workshops and classes within the New York City area, and I do travel. I'm open for bookings for events and private workshops, and I am seeing clients one-on-one, whether it is through Skype, let's really use the technology we have at our hands, or in person.
So let's just spell your name, because Eleonora has a few different spellings. So this is spelled Eleonora, Eleonora, at danceofpassion.com. And she's saying that she has sessions that she does with people one-on-one, so it doesn't matter where you are in the world if you're hearing this. And she does do international work, and we are not going to keep this a quiet secret, but she and I are creating some things to do together, so you'll be hearing about that in the future, too, by staying in touch with me.
One important thing before we close, in regards to you and I and your work, when I did the work with Lori that was relatively very recent is when all of this just started to explode. Everything that was in me started to manifest and just come out, and I physically felt it just bursting open, and I could also and envision everything that I'm doing right now, as well as the collaboration between Lori and I.
Mm.
And that was my intention for the time. My intention that I set was to start to see the seeds that I've been planting blossom. And that is exactly what's happening now. Oh. The power of intention and the work with Lori.
Well, thank you so much for that. Thanks for that endorsement. That feels great. And it feels great not to hear the words, but to know the truth behind the words, that in fact you're manifesting what your heart's desire wanted, and it happened in a container inside a course that I did, a brand new course too. It was my sex magic course. It was very exciting, and that was the first time we met, but it was like boom.
Boom. That word just keeps coming, and all of my collaborators, somehow we're all with just boom. It's simple, just boom.
I want to just see if there's anything you want to give people as a takeaway. Is there anything that you'd like to encourage them about or say any words of inspiration for them before we end our segment?
Yes. I want for all of us to just trust in ourselves. That's what my work then comes down to at the end. When we can remove the gunk that is between ourselves and ourselves, our true self and our external self, just trust. We have all the answers. I know what I need. I know what I want. I know what I want to do. you know. Just trust and allow yourself to follow that and see where it takes you.
That's wonderful. Inner guidance at its best. Thank you so much. You've been listening to Eleonora Lupien be interviewed by me, Laurie Handlers. Again, you can reach her at danceofpassion.com, or you can write to her directly, Eleonora@danceofpassion.com.
Tune in to Sex and Happiness next time when my guest will be a physician who deals with men's sexual health. This is Laurie Handlers signing off for Sex and Happiness.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Laurie and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. And if you'd like to listen to podcasts of Laurie's previous show, Tantra Cafe, please go to tantracafe.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness. Want you to know.